WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Georgia set a record for early voting when it began on Tuesday. 328,000 people cast their ballots. In Michigan, another swing state, Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson has unveiled an online dashboard that's providing real-time statistics about voter turnout, trends, and registration. She says it'll help combat disinformation.
We've all seen the ways that data taken out of context can be used to distort the truth. That will escalate in the weeks ahead. And we know that as it does, voters will become more and more frustrated as election misinformation becomes increasingly noisier.
The Israelis say aid is flowing again into northern Gaza after U.S. officials threatened to hold up weapons shipments if it didn't happen. The extended family of Lyle and Eric Menendez advocating for the brothers' release from prison as California prosecutors review new evidence to determine whether they should still be serving life sentences for killing their parents. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Most public schools in Wisconsin will get more money from the state this year. The Department of Public Instruction is out with its general state aid figures. Two-thirds of school districts will get more money. A third will get less. In all, Wisconsin is sending about $5.5 billion to local schools. Local clerks say they'll run a free and fair election on November 5th. Brian Hinkle is with the Movement Advancement Project. He says local clerks and states take great care each step of the way.
For many voters, they cast their ballot, and that feels like the end of the process. But in reality, that's the first step in a deliberate, specific, and careful process to get the final election results.
Congress adopted new safeguards for the electoral count process after the 2020 presidential election. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
This is news from WMDX Madison. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. A Madison-based mortgage lender will have to pay $8 million, accused by the federal government of discriminatory lending practices. The Department of Justice says Fairway discouraged Black people in Birmingham, Alabama, from applying for mortgages and redlined people of color there, meaning they tried to avoid giving them loans. It's now illegal, but redlining was a common practice in America for decades. As part of a settlement, Fairway will have to put more than $8 million into a program for loan subsidies in mostly Black neighborhoods in Birmingham. And an update on a story we brought you yesterday. Madison College officials are now planning to start over in their search for a new president after one finalist dropped out of the running. The college's board of trustees had narrowed it down to three candidates. One of them withdrew. Now the board chair says they didn't have enough options in front of them, so they'll go back to the beginning. Retiring president Jack Daniels III already had to delay his exit once, but he'll leave at the end of this year. That's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is WMDX News.
The Packers have a new kicker. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers have signed a new place kicker. He's 33-year-old Brandon McManus, who was with the Denver Broncos for eight seasons. In 2023, McManus was accused of sexual assault by two flight attendants during a Jaguars team flight to London. The NFL investigated and cleared McManus of any charges. The Packers releasing their rookie kicker, Braden Narveson, who led the league in missed field goals with five in six games. College football. The Badgers head to Evanston to face the Northwestern Wildcats. Now, last November, Northwestern beat Wisconsin 24-10. This week's game to be played at a temporary stadium while Ryan Field is being rebuilt. Luke Fickell.
Whatever they ask us to play or tell us to play, we'll play. If it's a parking lot, we'll play in the parking lot. I don't think we got a whole lot to say after, you know, how we performed and how we played last year. So I could care less where we're playing at. And anytime you go on the road in the Big Ten, you're going to have to handle some things, whether it's, you know, a new stadium, whether it's the wind, whether it's a locker room. It is what it is.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
We're warming things up today with mostly sunny skies, calm winds, and high temperatures reaching the upper 50s. With not a cloud in the sky, tonight lows fall to the mid-30s. Then, the winds start to kick up tomorrow, becoming feisty, but shoving our highs into the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Right now, it's 54. This is Gordy with John and Gordy in the Morning on 92.7 WMDX. When you text into our show or any WMDX program, know that our text line is sponsored by Rocket Industrial. Package with less. Visit rocketindustrial.com and we'll be watching out for your text.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Ann Egan Walkoff from Wisconsin Native Vote.
20 years ago, I moved to a suburb of Milwaukee. I went to register, and the woman was like, "You're Indian? Indians don't vote. You can't vote."
What?
So when I'm talking to a group of Native Americans, did I tell them that story? And they're like, "What?" And that gets their dander up. And I'm going to go yeah, vote for sure.
Absolutely.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome a couple National Lampoon guys, writer Jeff Tully and actor and voice of the network Jamie Kaler. And the Marinette Rec Center's Sean Katzbeck talks blues, brews, and barbecue.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX. Time for a deep dive into the one issue that matters most in a capitalist democracy. Money. This is Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. A joint production of the Maggie Dawn Show and the Patriotic Millionaires. Now, let's start talking money.
What's up, y'all? I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You can find all the old Maggie and the Millionaires episodes. We do this every day. If you go to civicmedia.us, you can also download the Civic Media app and take Maggie and the Millionaires with you wherever you may go. Check it out, folks. Today, we're joined by Jeff Clements, the CEO of American Promise, a cross-partisan organization working to pass a constitutional amendment that takes big money out of politics. He's practiced law for 3 decades in both public service and private practice. We've got that in common, Jeff. And is the author of Corporations Are Not People. Duh, that's not actually the title of the book. Corporations Are Not People, Reclaiming Democracy from Big Money and Global Corporations. We got Jeff today on to talk about something especially timely as we're just weeks away from the election. Money in politics. More importantly, how the heck do we get rid of it? Jeff, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for making time for us. Can you tell us more about the work that you're doing to put power back in the hands of American voters?
Absolutely, Maggie, and thanks for having me on. It's great to see you. You just put your finger on it. This what this is all about is power back in the hands of voters. This will be a $16 billion election, a record. And the thing about it isn't so much that that's a lot of money. It is. It's that it comes mostly from billionaires, global companies, a few big unions, but mostly billionaires, global corporations, and a very wealthy elite donor class on each side from a few zip codes. And it goes all over the country. We all see it. It's down to school committee races. And you had a very expensive judicial race in Wisconsin. So, you know, we're seeing it at every level now. And it's absolutely out of control. That's where the power is. The power is going to those who are able to participate in that kind of way of doing politics. You know, it's just reported out today, 3 billionaires alone spent $220 million for the Trump campaign in the last 3 months, just alone, led by Elon Musk. So we have to do something about it if we want power in the hands of voters, which is the American system. That system is broken. And what broke it was the Supreme Court deciding yes. that the reason we have this money like we do. Nobody chose this. Not a single voter said, "Hey, this is a good idea. Let's do elections this way." Not one American voter said that's a good thing. The Supreme Court did it. They came up with this wacky theory that money is free speech. Corporations are like people. We're not allowed. We, the people, are not allowed to limit spending in elections. It's a theory of the First Amendment that, you know, a clever lawyer like you or me could come up with. And it sounds kind of plausible until you actually try it. And we've been trying it the last 10 years, and this is what we get. So the only way to fix it, though, Maggie, is a constitutional amendment, because the Supreme Court won't fix it itself. So that means Congress, the states, local governments, you try to pass an effective anti-corruption law to put power in the hands of people, it'll get struck down by the judges. They'll say it violates the free speech rights of those who have the money. So we need an amendment to rescue the First Amendment and free speech from the oligarchs, put it back in the hands of the people.
Yeah, when the Citizens United decision was rendered, the idea that the Supreme Court could be frankly snookered by the idea that money is speech. If money is speech, those that have the most money get to scream, right? And the rest of us are maybe just whispering. It doesn't even make sense. Like, the surface level plausibility is fast stripped away. The specific amendment that you're talking about, you call it the For Our Freedom Amendment, but even hearing the numbers, and there are a number of Wisconsin billionaires that are topping the donor list right alongside folks like Elon Musk. But when we talk about the scope, it's really hard to get our heads around this. Can you help give us some context? How can we actually understand the impact of this massive spending on our politicians and on our policies?
Well, there's a lot of different ways to look at it. I think what we find at American Promise is actually not really lecturing to people about why it has a problem, but listening to people, because most Americans have a story. Most Americans can tell you about what's happened in their community or why they can't get any representation, why their problems are not getting solved. They can tell you that they see their elected representatives spending 50, 60, 70% of their time talking to donors. We all see, you know, presidential candidates going hat in hand to billionaires and then coming out of the meeting and saying that they're going to do exactly what the billionaire wanted. Up in Maine, we just won a ballot initiative to move the amendment forward, 86% of the vote, yes. And, you know, we didn't need to tell the people in Maine, 86%, that we had a problem. They had a problem of foreign government-owned corporations spending millions of dollars to influence the policies and rules of that the people were going to have to live under through the ballot box in Maine. And these are 100%, not just foreign investors, foreign governments owning these companies and spending money in our elections. One of the CEOs of one of these companies, a Canadian company called Hydro-Québec, said, "Are you allowed to do this in your own country?" And they said, "Oh, no, our elections are serious, you know," and they come here and there's no rules. So they spend all that money. And so the problem isn't just the nasty attack ads that we all have to watch all day and that dominate our lives. It's not the division, the misinformation that is driven by this money alone. It's that systemic problem that the relationship of Americans to our government has been severed. You know, we are not, even if we like our own member of Congress or we like our candidate, it is impossible to have the kind of relationship that the founders of the country and that Americans want, which is the voters have the power. The elected officials are accountable. We have elections where the voters are heard, and we move policy in the direction of what the voters want. And it sounds quaint now, doesn't it? Because we all know that's not actually how it works anymore.
Quaint and like some vague fever dream, right? Like, because we seem so far from that, especially when polling on so many major issues is so overwhelming, and yet we seem to be incapable of moving forward. And this has a real impact. This spending in elections really does impact good jobs, good wages, and a good economy. How is that impacting these kitchen table kinds of issues beyond this idea that, and I think, again, 86% in Maine, I'd venture a guess that 86% of people think money is not speech and that we should have some controls over this kind of not just foreign, but billionaire influence over our elected officials. How is this showing up in kitchen table issues for Americans?
Well, I think it's showing up everywhere. I think, you know, why do wages not rise like they should? Why do we have trouble accessing healthcare, and when we can access it, paying a fortune for it? You know, take a look at what the big pharma spending is. Take a look at what the, you know, health insurer spending is. And you can see a correlation. You know, a few years ago, Ohio and California, just two states with the ballot initiative process, because the legislature wasn't doing it, of course, tried to have some price, you know, control around drug prices. The pharma companies and other health industry companies spent over $100 million, just crushed it. You know, citizens can't raise $100 million to put something on the ballot that's supposed to be a citizens initiative that you do when the legislature is too in bed with the donors that they won't do it. So you try to do it yourself. Well, now even that avenue is closed. So it's affecting how much we pay for things. It's affecting what we see in the grocery store. It's affecting our jobs. It's affecting the water we drink, the air we breathe. I mean, it's this kinds of schools our kids go to. So, you know, it's a good system democracy, because all of those can be improved, because we're actually pretty good at talking with each other in our communities, at trying to solve problems. We don't have to agree all the time, but, you know, when voters are heard and, you know, we can debate all we want, and then the election comes, and then we, you know, we move forward and make some of these problems better. But that just doesn't happen. And so that's the end game of how it affects us, is that it crushes the faith Americans have in democracy. And then we start turning on each other, and we get into the kind of nonsense that we're seeing in our elections now. And that's very dangerous. So we really have to take this seriously. Fortunately, you know, going into this year, early 2024, Pew Research put reducing money in politics at the very top of American priorities. That had never happened before. It was right after terrorism and the economy. Right. Yes. So, and I think because Americans connect the dots, of course, healthcare is on there. Of course, you know, war and other big issues are on there. But Americans connect the dots that if we don't reduce money in politics, we can't start solving some of the other issues that go right into our wallets and our kids' lives and our communities and everything else.
Folks, that's Jeff Clements, CEO of American Promise, a cross-partisan organization working to pass the For Our Freedom Amendment to take big money out of politics. He's been both a public sector and private sector lawyer. He literally wrote the book on this. Corporations are not people, reclaiming democracy from big money and global corporations. He's our special guest on today's episode of Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. We've got about a minute left. I just want to talk about this as a cross-partisan or bipartisan or whatever party you happen to be in issue. You reach both sides of the aisle on this. Everybody cares about this, regardless of whether we put an R, a D, or an I, or something else behind our names.
Absolutely. And in less than a minute, I can tell you Americans are united on this. You know, we at American Promise, we are Republicans, Democrats, Independents, our staff, our board, our volunteers across the country. And there is no daylight. If you look at the polling and you look how people vote, Republicans, Democrats, and Independents all agree we need a constitutional solution so we can limit money in politics. And then we'll have plenty to argue about and compete about in elections. But all of us are getting hurt right now. And fortunately, at American Promise, we can come together. This is the only thing we do. There's no bait and switch. There's no, you know, other stuff we're doing. This is it. So it's a place where Americans can unite and get this constitutional amendment done.
Folks, that's Jeff Clements, CEO of American Promise, the organization working to take big money out of politics through a constitutional amendment. We're going to talk about, is that even possible today? How would we even make that happen? How long might this fix take? All when we come back on this special episode of Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. We're going to have more with Jeff Clements after these brief messages here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
Thank you. a new choice.
Madison's real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right. We can all get along.
I know, exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like...
It's only glass.
Tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The John and Gordy Show.
Talking with Mike McCabe here.
If we allow that kind of darkness to so unnerve us that we are no longer capable of imagining a better world, imagining a better place, then we're really in trouble, where we can no longer think in imaginative ways about what our country's future can look like. And we have to have a forward-looking vision.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. Time for a deep dive into the one issue that matters most in a capitalist democracy, money. This is Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, a joint production of The Maggie Dawn Show and The Patriotic Millionaires. Now, let's start talking money.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Every day leading up to the election at 3 o'clock, we do Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, because you care about child care policy, you care about education, you care about securing the border. It's about the money, y'all. And one of the biggest problems in returning power to the people in this country is the absolute avalanche of money in politics. If money is speech, then regular middle-class folks, we're barely whispering. And billionaires and foreign corporations that can buy influence, they're the ones that are screaming at our politicians. Our avenue for change is through the ballot box and eventually through a constitutional amendment. So says our guest today, Jeff Clements. He is the CEO of American Promise, a cross-partisan organization working to pass a constitutional amendment that takes big money out of politics. He wrote the book on it. Corporations are not people, reclaiming democracy from big money and global corporations. Thanks so much for making time, Jeff. We've been setting the stage and talking about, one, how this isn't an issue for Republicans or Democrats or independents or people who are usually disengaged from the process. This is an everybody issue, and you see that when you go and put the amendment on ballots like you just did in Maine, getting 86% of the vote in favor of a constitutional amendment. But our politics seems so screwed up right now. People seem so divided. And of course, the money in the politics is part of the reason why. But a constitutional amendment seems like a really high hurdle to clear. Is this even possible today?
It's absolutely possible. In fact, it's happening. And it's happening, I think, in the next several years. I'm not talking like 10, 50, 20 years, but it's on right now. And I think that the first step is for us to accept that we actually do have power in this republic, but we're on the ropes. You know, if we don't use the sort of, you know, in emergency break glass mechanism of constitutional amendments, You know, shame on us. So that means it's on us to figure it out. And so when I started this a few years ago, I had the same questions I think most Americans have. Really? An amendment? How do we do that? When have we ever done that? And of course, it turns out, yeah, we've amended the Constitution 27 times. And what's interesting about it, Maggie, is we do this as Americans about every 50 years when things are really bad. So we did the Bill of Rights right after the Revolution, and the Constitution came out of Philadelphia, the first 10 amendments of the Bill of Rights, and they're pretty good ones. And then another 50 years and real problems, we're into the Civil War, we come out of that mess with three constitutional amendments to try to put the country and democracy back together, kind of get back to work and family and everything that Americans would rather do than politics or amend the Constitution. 50 years later, things are a mess. Between 1910 and 1920, war, pandemic, massive economic inequality, eclipsed maybe only by our own time, but real problems. And we did four constitutional amendments in the space of a decade. Did it again between 61 and 71. Again, when people were questioning whether this country can stick together and keep going. So this is exactly the kind of time we do amendments. So how do we do it? Well, look in the Constitution. It turns out you can amend the Constitution with a 2/3 vote in Congress and ratification in 3/4 of the states. So is that hard? Yes. Can you do it with just one party or in a partisan way? Absolutely not. So anyone who talks about an amendment who isn't cross-partisan, who isn't doing what we do at American Promise to unite Americans behind it, isn't going to get it done, because you need 2/3 vote in Congress and ratification in 3/4 of the states. But the reason we launched American Promise is we saw the opportunity. 85% is not unusual. Most Americans want this. So what if they had a place to go where Republicans and Democrats and independents could actually work together? That's what American Promise does. And so now we have 22 states that say we're ready to ratify. We hope Wisconsin could be 23. So we're doing a lot in Wisconsin, and we'd love people to sign up at AmericanPromise.net. We're in Pennsylvania, we're in Arizona, we're in Utah, Wyoming, Texas. Those states are vying to be the 23rd and 24th. And when states pass these resolutions in the legislatures or in through ballot initiatives where people can do that, like they did in Maine, that is how we're building power. And it's how we can use that power to make Congress actually vote the amendment out and put it back to the states for ratification. So this has been happening. We have a lot of support in Congress. We're having interesting conversations. The Democrats got out a little ahead right after Citizens United. So in Congress, it's mostly Democrats so far. That's not what we see in the states. We see the Republicans leading on this as much as Democrats. And we can win this anywhere. We got a majority vote in Wyoming just a few months ago. So there's nowhere where we can't win this. We're going to take that to Washington. We're having good conversations with Republicans in Washington. So we're going to get the 2/3 vote. We're going to get ratification in 3/4 of the states. And what the amendment will do, you can see it on AmericanPromise.net, it will give us the power to pass limits on how money is used in elections. And that's not unusual. We used to do that. We've had anti-corruption laws going back 100 years. There used to be a limit on PACs, $5,000. There wasn't such a thing as a super PAC. It was illegal to do more than $5,000 to a PAC. Now you have people putting $100 million and calling it a super PAC. That's what the Supreme Court did. We can unwind that. This does not have to be the way things are in America. We can fix this, but we got to get that amendment to the Constitution done.
And every Wisconsinite will, I think, remember with pride, regardless of their party, the work that our former Senator Russ Feingold did, that the Supreme Court then undid to try to limit money in politics. We got to get back to that. Again, where is the website that folks can find out more, Jeff?
It's AmericanPromise.net, all one word, AmericanPromise.net.
Wonderful. Thanks so much. That is Jeff Clements. He is the CEO of American Promise, a cross-partisan organization working to pass a constitutional amendment that takes big money out of politics. He also wrote the book on this called Corporations Are Not People, Reclaiming Democracy from Big Money and Global Corporations. I'll just say this on a personal note. I have always, as a lawyer and as someone that has cared deeply about public policy, been so personally disturbed by the access to both Democrats and Republicans that the richest among us can buy. It shouldn't be this way. It doesn't have to be this way. And Americans should be demanding of every debate of every candidate their commitment to the For Our Freedom Amendment. Let's take money out of politics. Thanks so much, Jeff, for your great work on this issue.
Thank you, Maggie. Really appreciate the conversation.
That's going to do it for today's episode of Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. We do this every day at 3 p.m. Follow me on Twitter, Insta, and Facebook. The Maggie Dawn Show. Back with more in a moment.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Brazil got a good run weather-wise for their planting season, and that's something that the market has been watching very closely. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report, and John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, says that the heavy crop reported last week in the world ag supply demand estimates continues to weigh on the market.
You know, we did have that WASDE report on Friday. Didn't do a whole lot with that soybean yield. The biggest thing is carryouts at 540 million bushels for U.S. beans. That's the largest we've had since the trade war back in 2019. Not quite to the level that we saw there, but again, still an extremely heavy supply. Add on top of that a global supply that just seems to be heavy. And with another potentially big, big record crop coming out of Brazil, the bean market is just very, very concerned right now. Again, throw in that concerns regarding the Chinese economy. You know, if the Chinese aren't buying or their economy is weak, that's just going to impact certain product commodities like soybeans, pork, things along those lines.
That's John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing. I'll have a look at your closing markets right after this.
There I was, driving along, when I saw the corn laying down in the field, goosenecked again. Even though I tried everything, new traits, existing soil insecticides, every corn grower knows the hassle of gooseneck corn. But now there's Narisma Insecticide from BASF, a better, stronger in-furrow insecticide that controls corn rootworm and below-ground pests. Stand up for your corn with Narisma Insecticide. Ask your authorized BASF retailer about Narisma, and always read and follow label directions.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your closing markets. December corn closed at 404 and three quarters. That was up 3.5 cents. November soybeans closed at 980. That was down 11 cents. December wheat closed at 585. That was up 5.5 cents. And July 2025 wheat closed at 621, up 4.5 cents. On the dairy side of things, November Class 3 milk contract is trading at 21.12 a hundredweight. That is up 8 cents. And December Class 3 milk contract is trading at 21.27 a hundredweight, up 35 cents. Barrel cheese closed today at 193. That was up 4 cents. 40-pound block cheese closed at 194 and a quarter, up a half. And the double A butter closed up 2 cents and closed at 263 and a half. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low to the mid-30s. Sunny, breezy, and warmer tomorrow, a high in the mid-60s. Sunny with the wind picking up for Friday, high upper 60s. A slight rain chance for Friday night in early Saturday. The weekend temps will stay mild. It's 55 right now.
Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. It's worth a look. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health. because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll break down Vice President Harris's interview with Fox News and a what's worse. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
Everybody, or welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. If you are in your car and arriving home before 4 o'clock, you're going to want to stay in your car because there is an absolutely massive interview coming up on the Maggie Dawn Show. I am so thrilled and so excited. I had the opportunity to speak with the First Lady of Minnesota very early this morning, and that interview is going to be the very last thing you hear from me today here on the Maggie Dawn Show. So keep it locked. That's going to be the last segment of the day. It was both fun and extremely enlightening to talk with Gwen Walls, wife of Governor Tim Walls. Very impressed with the First Lady of Minnesota, and she just also seems like a lovely Midwesterner. Like so many of our neighbors, boy, she's a regular person. And isn't that nice to see in our elected officials and their spouses, you know, less weird, more regular people. I like it. You're not going to want to miss that. That is the last interview of this installment of the Maggie Dawn Show today. We're going to be getting that in the last segment. Today, I just wanted to finish up today before we get to that interview. I just wanted to address a couple of excellent questions that I got during our last segment, which was Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. I was joined by Jeff Clements, who runs American Promise. He's the CEO, and they're working to pass a constitutional amendment to help take big money out of politics. And the reason it has to be a constitutional amendment, as Jeff explained, is because of the Supreme Court that has said that basically any other legislative limitations on spending in politics and elections are unconstitutional violations of the First Amendment. And so we have to change our Constitution to tell the Supreme Court that corporations are not people and that money is not speech. But one of you very astute listeners asked me, how exactly does ratifying a constitutional amendment occur? Do voters directly get to vote on whether to ratify the constitutional amendment? And the answer to that is no. It is the state legislatures that have to vote to ratify the amendment. There's a couple of ways that a constitutional amendments can get started. All of our 27 amendments to the Constitution always came forward by a proposal from Congress with a two-thirds majority vote. You got to get it in both the House of Representatives and the Senate. Two-thirds of both bodies have to say, this is the proposed constitutional amendment. If that happens, it doesn't go to the president's desk, right? Because that is not a matter for the president to decide. Once you get those two-thirds votes to consider a constitutional amendment, usually in modern times, there's been a time period, a time limit by which the states have to consider the amendment. It then gets passed to the states. It's interesting. The National Archives and Records Administration Office of the Federal Register actually takes the original documentation from Congress and adds legislative history notes to it, to this joint resolution, again, having to come from both the House and the Senate, and publishes it. And then they assemble an information package for the states that has the legislation and all the legislative history notes. And then it also includes any of the formal red lines or versions of the amendment that may have been debated by the House and the Senate. And then they basically submit that to the states for their consideration. There's like a formal letter of notification that goes to the governor of each state, along with all this informational material prepared by the National Archives. And then the governors are required to formally submit that amendment to their state legislatures. And then the state legislatures have to vote, and you have to get to 38 of the 50 states ratifying, their state legislatures ratifying, in other words, adopting the constitutional amendment. And that paperwork has to get sent back to the National Archives. And in an interesting note about Wisconsin's role in one of the constitutional amendment processes, the constitutional amendment giving women the right to vote, Wisconsin ratified it, and there was actually a race to see which state would get its ratification documents to the National Archives first, which I think is really cool. And Wisconsin actually took the vote and put a guy on a train so that he could beat the other states that were also trying to be first to the archives with their ratification documents. But ladies and gentlemen, especially the Wisconsinites listening out there, to all of you, you will be very proud to know that Wisconsin got their ratification documents giving women the right to vote, that constitutional change, to the National Archives first. So that is, we have a long and proud history in the state of Wisconsin about that. But folks, after all of this deep discussion this afternoon, and certainly we're going to have another deep dive tomorrow, we've got Tom Paulsiewicz joining me. We're going to dissect Donald Trump's comments before the Economic Forum of Chicago yesterday. We got all that sound ready to go for tomorrow. We're going to take a bunch of that sound. I'm going to point out all the lies that Donald Trump told people in that meeting. It's also just a bunch of nonsense. One theme, I won't bury the lead, is that Donald Trump responds to questions about major policy issues and questions by referencing anecdotes. Oh, well, I talked to this guy, and this guy told me that blah, blah, blah. We're all familiar with this. He actually never answers the questions. I took careful account throughout the hour and 10-minute interview of whether or not Donald Trump actually answered the questions that he was asked. And he was only asked about six of them. And he legit doesn't answer any of the questions straightforwardly. He just references these random anecdotes. Now, I'll tell you this, as an economist and a lawyer and someone that's worked in government for a long time, anecdotes do not make policy. The only people who rely on anecdotes to make policy are people who have the ego of a giant who think that their personal experience defines the universe. You get what I'm saying? Like, oh, well, if I have happened to experience this thing one time, well, then that one time means that that's how it always works. In other words, a small-minded, narcissistic, you know, sociopath would rely on anecdotes to craft the United States foreign or economic policy. Turns out that's exactly what Donald Trump does. And many of the questions that he was being asked at the Economic Forum were about the overall impacts of policies on small businesses and the middle class. And Donald Trump never answered any of those questions. But Tom Paulsiewicz and I, one of the most reasonable guys in politics, a two-time congressional candidate, small business owner, Navy veteran. He's my co-host on Thursdays for an hour from 2 to 3. We're going to dissect that tomorrow. We're going to point out all the whys. You're not going to want to miss that. Then Tom and I are going to be joined by one of the leaders of Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin. We're going to talk about the importance of the youth vote, building on today's discussion for Sounds Like Change, Christina Reynolds, the Senior Vice President of Communications and Strategy at Emily's List. So we're going to build on that discussion tomorrow with one of Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin, one of their leaders. Really looking forward to that. All that coming up. And of course, Gwen Walls at the end of this show. But y'all, I got to take a little break from the politics. If you got any final political thoughts, we'll take them. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. But then I want to tease you with this final topic of the day. And Aaron, you are welcome to chime in. Aaron Zommer's on the board, part of the Maggie Dawn Show team, because I happened to read a little article about this and it got me thinking. The article was about, what is the thing that bugs you most about modern technology? And the writer went off for quite some time about email. And I have a whole litany of email pet peeves, like a ton of them. Many, many, many email pet peeves. I want to know what everybody's email or tech pet peeve is. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. What is your technology pet peeve? And it doesn't count to call up and say you hate social media. No. That's just a given. Everybody like love hate social media. We all doom scroll. We all rage text and post. We get that. Don't give me the generics. I want specifics, because I have you'll all be not very surprised to hear, I have a whole litany of peeves about tech. 855-75-CIVIC. I want to give Mark from Prairie du Sac, who's been a very patient friend of the show here, a shot at what he would like to share this afternoon. Politics are still fair game, Mark. You've been waiting. Or, of course, you can give me your thoughts on what bothers you most about tech these days.
Well, I don't know about tech, but I actually posted on the Facebook page a quote from Abigail Adams, her complaint, her plaint to her husband, John Adams, on March 31st of 1776, more or less, don't forget the ladies, that women, she more or less is saying, women shouldn't rely on men to decide their fates. And, you know, that I don't have the exact quote in front of me right now, but, you know, it's the misogyny, you know, dates back to even back then, because if I remember right from history class, that while John Adams was doing his thing during the Revolutionary War, and then fleeing off to Europe to, you know, defend, you know, to make political points for the United States, Abigail was back at home running the farm. And she was saying, you know, back in 1776, that women should have a right to say something in politics. And I think that too many of our politicians today just want to put women back to pre-1776 and say, just keep your mouth shut, your men know the best thing for you, and, you know, just be quiet.
Yeah, zip it. Zip it, ladies. Well, I think women are going to send a really strong message to J.D. Vance, Donald Trump, and the Theo bros that J.D. Vance follows, many of whom who have explicitly endorsed the idea that the 19th Amendment giving women the right to vote was a mistake, that men should be the head of households and that households should be allocated votes, and that men, as the head of the household, should determine how those votes are cast in our elections. I'm not making that up. Go read about it. The Theo bros, this is part of their fundamental approach to the world. J.D. Vance, one of those Theo bros, an acolyte, pun intended, of a lot of their teachings and thinking. That's why he says, you know, he's waded in on the weak sauce version of that. Like, oh, childless cat ladies and women without children, you should have your votes. Those should just count less because you're not fully human. But we're going to save more of my political hair on fire thinkings for tomorrow. Folks, we got the Gwen Walls interview coming up next. Aaron Zommer's, I want to give you a crack at it. What, you got a couple of favorite tech peeves?
Yeah, I think my favorite tech pet peeve is the constant need to reinvent the wheel in tech. Like, for example, the Windows Start menu. Fantastic. Why we got to move it to the middle? Why do you got to add all this other weird stuff with it? Why do you have to make it harder to find things? It, like, they just, every tech company has to change everything every new release instead of using systems that work.
Yeah, it's a real bugger. I have to say, the reformatting, the updating of systems, I always dread it when I get my, systems upgrade, because I'm never going to be able to find anything after the upgrade happens. It's ridiculous. But I got to tell you, one of my biggest tech pet peeves is the fact that there are so many ways to get in touch with a person. It used to be snail mail and the telephone. Because what happens now is I get a text message, I get an email about the text message, I get a voicemail alerting me to the email and the text message. Stop! One point of contact is plenty.
And Instagram and Twitter and Snapchat.
It's too much. too much. I can't keep track of it all. And then you got the DMs and all that. The best way to get in touch with me is always on the Maggie Dawn Show. Folks, we got the First Lady of Minnesota coming up next. That's going to be our closeout segment of the day. I pre-recorded it, so I'm going to say to you all right now, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it's always better when we stand together. Keep it locked for this incredible interview with Gwen Walls, wife of vice presidential candidate Tim Walls, up next here on the...
A Voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T?
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that ad on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The key ingredient is something called Tesnor, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text BODY to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text BODY to 321-321. That's BODY to 321-321.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Ann Egan Walkoff from Wisconsin Native Vote.
20 years ago, I moved to a suburb of Milwaukee. I went to register, and the woman was like, "You're Indian? Indians don't vote. You can't vote."
What?
So when I'm talking to a group of Native Americans, I tell them that story, and they're like, "What?" And that gets their dander up, and I'm going to go
yeah,
vote for sure.
Absolutely.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
A new choice. Madison's real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
Welcome, Wisconsin and beyond. I'm Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I love my job many days, but today I especially love my job because I get to talk with Gwen Walls, the First Lady of Minnesota. What a privilege to have you, Mrs. Walls. Thank you for making time for The Maggie Dawn Show this afternoon.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. You know, I'm a huge Wisconsin fan and a huge fan of what you're able to do on radio. And if you would, just call me Gwen.
Oh, well, thank you so much for that. As my mother says, you can call me Maggie or Margaret, but don't call me late for dinner. That's how we do it in the Midwest, you know. Gwen, you spent over 20 years working both first in Nebraska and then in Minnesota in the Mankato School District as an English teacher and as an administrator. You have made part of your brief or duties as First Lady of Minnesota education, corrections, and gun control. And obviously, you and your husband are now on this new national level with a new spotlight. And I wanted to ask you, of course, when you're campaigning on a national level, the critics, the haters, if you will, come up with these new attack lines. One of the lines that I've heard about your husband, Gwen, is Tampon Tim. And I know that the MAGA cult thinks that that's some sort of dig on your husband. But when I went and did my own research to find out why are they calling him Tampon Tim, I actually found that he likely wears that as a badge of honor. Gwen, tell us what that's all about.
You know, first of all, the inclination of the other campaign or the right to name call is just not something that I really approve of in the first place. But if they're going to continue to do it, you know, I think that we have to just define what it is that's remarkable, that's been done in Minnesota and that Tim's advocated for. We have had a real agenda responding to the needs of Minnesotans. So, you know, the free school lunch and breakfast, that was part of our agenda. And we said, what else do we need in schools? And as we listened, people were having trouble accessing feminine products. And so Tim made those available in schools. I think that makes sense. You know, if this is something that distracts from learning, well, then we're going to take care of that. Why wouldn't we? Because we're interested in students learning and not being distracted by other things, and certainly not by name calling.
Yeah. And again, I think it's an absolute badge of honor, and I congratulate you for putting the needs of students above politics. You have been a passionate advocate for reproductive freedom. So has your husband. What are some of the contrasts that jump out to you, Gwen, when you look at what your husband and Vice President Harris are proposing versus their opponents in this next election?
Well, I think it is absolutely clear, and this is so important to me, that Tim and Kamala trust women. And they trust women to make their own healthcare decisions. And they believe that that is a right and a freedom for women. That is very different than how I hear the Trump and Vance ticket talk about this. You know, recently President Trump said, you know, he would be a woman's protector. I find that so offensive.
Yes.
I did not ask that man to be my protector, and I'm not interested in that. And I'm not interested in his view of the choices that I can make in my own life or in the lives of women across this country. And so I think that distinction about being able to make our own choices, and if you can't make your own choice about healthcare, well, then what else do they think you can't make your choices about? Tim and Kamala trust women. I trust women. Women I've met across this country, which has been fabulous during the campaign to get to do. It's a real opportunity. Women I meet in Wisconsin. I've been in Wisconsin 5 different times recently and done 7 different events. And I haven't met a woman yet who isn't a capable, strong Wisconsin woman who can make her own healthcare decisions and decisions about her life. So I think, you know, we Midwestern women can just send a message right here about what we believe, who we are, and how we're ready and always have made our own decisions. Then that's a real distinction. I'm not giving that power up to anyone. And Kamala and Tim would never ask that of women. And that thought would never cross their mind because they trust women.
Boy, that's checking a lot of boxes for me, being raised by very strong Wisconsin women. I hear that. One of the surprising things I read about you, Madam First Lady, is that you're the first First Lady in Minnesota's history to have an office.
Gwen,
to have an office in the Minnesota State Capitol, which I thought speaks so much to how much your husband respects you. And I found that little fact surprising. Is there something surprising about your husband that you think voters need to know, Gwen?
Oh, gosh, something surprising. Well, you can't put Tim in a box. Like, he is really interested and diverse. You know, he's a world traveler. He's an educator. He's a great dad. He's passionate about canoeing and outdoor life and football. He's also passionate about anything our kids are interested in. But something that might be surprising, I would say that he likes vegetables. That might be surprising. You know, he doesn't look like a vegetable eater, but he's really, like, he will have radishes and carrots and that sort of thing for a snack. It's like some of his favorite snacks are vegetables.
Gwen, you had me at raw vegetable. My dad likes some roughage as well. Folks, that's Gwen Walls, First Lady of Minnesota. Thank you so much. And thank you for everything you're doing on the trail. Go Tim and Kamala. That is First Lady of Minnesota, Gwen Walls, here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Thank you, Maggie. Let's vote, Wisconsin. Let's vote.
Yay.
I need
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, the Busted Pencils will join us.
And we'll be talking about different ways to vote with Scott Klug.
Join us.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8. The Todd Alba Show.
Some group of kids from Stevens Point were using racial slurs against Black and mixed race players on the Eau Claire North team. Let's go to Joe. What's he?
One of the things that makes this state great is the legacy of Vince Lombardi. He tells his players, you are all equal on my team. Vince Lombardi would never have tolerated that sort of behavior. And he's one of our heroes.
Joe, as you always do, you nailed it.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.